Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to those voyagers currently traveling through caverns and tunnels towards the center of the hollow Earth. Good morning. Excuse me, good evening. Sorry, though. It's good morning to them, whatever. Good evening to those folks out there in submarines, deep below the surface of the Earth. We know you're out there, and we know you're having a good time. Good evening to you Saturday night frolickers out there in your slinky costumes and your sluttiness with your slutty boyfriend. You've forgotten about me, good evening. Good evening to those folks on their way to the CVS or the Walgreens. You're gonna get yourself a pack of rubbers because you think you're gonna get lucky. And like that, you know, whatever, carameled apple from the 1970s, there's a razor blade inside. You're gonna go back to her really nice condo. It's in Evanston. It's not far from downtown. It's so exciting. She's such a beautiful woman, right? She's so beautiful. You go back to her condo. It's in Evanston. It's not far from your favorite, you know, elevated train. The blue, the green, who cares? The brown line. Huh, we all know that one, don't we? Good evening to you, because you'll go there. And you'll find out that this woman, this beautiful woman, she doesn't have any money, and she does love one thing, her cats. And she can't afford cat food, so she's been doing something real interesting the last couple years. She does it twice a year. It supplements the problem of buying cat food. It's cheaper to pick up a guy, to give him one last night, and then feed him to your cat. It's cheaper to pick up a guy at that place, you know, that place that's really cool, that martini bar with sexy waitresses. It's just cheaper to pick up a guy and take him home and grind him up and feed him to your cat. Good evening. That's the kind of shit, Dan. Anyways, I think this is the first time, perhaps not the first time, but it's one of those rare occasions in the last year that I've actually tried to do more than one podcast in a day. I don't know if that's good or bad. I just don't. I don't know that it matters. No, that's not true. I know it doesn't matter. It matters to the extent that I enjoy doing this, and it matters to the extent that there are at least 5 people that probably listen. And to those 5 people, this probably matters. But beyond the scope of that, and electrons and other types of technology that, yeah, is ratcheted up pretty fucking high like a fucking Jenga game, beyond the reach of that, it just doesn't fucking matter, buddy. It is October the 26th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's 9:42 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, Pacific Standard Time, if you can believe it, beyond the scope of space and time, here in Clallam County. Yeah. As of 9:42 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, here are your Zero Hedge front page headlines. And when I say front page, I mean that I don't click to go right. I mean what you see when you go 9:42 p.m. Headline, Clamala, Harry Balls booed after Beyonce bait and switch. Oh my God, they got Willie Nelson instead. Oh boy. Watch Trump and Rogan have a wild interview. Did you just float out the idea of getting rid of income taxes and replacing them with tariffs? The Atlantic Council has big plans for a war between us and Iran. Headline, U.S. intelligence says China leading rapid expansion of nuclear arsenal. Headline, The Green New Scam is Dying headline. Zelensky outraged over UN chief getting chummy with Putin at BRICS. Headline. History rhymes. Freedom from fear. Headline. Two refineries that produce 14% of California's gasoline set to close due to regulatory pressure. Headline. The battle for space is on. The battle to save what's left of the Galactica and the fleet and the people from PyCon. Yeah, they're out there. Headline. NVIDIA-backed tech company looking to buy land near nuclear power in Japan. Lucky. Headline. Appeals court says Mississippi law allowing ballots after election day is illegal. Headline. Bonds and bullion break out, but Goldman top trader warns equity risk reward will be iffy until after the election. Oh boy. Headline. Army releases redacted report on incident during Trump visit to Arlington Cemetery. Trauma monkey. Headline. Russia reportedly supplied geo-intelligence data for Houthi assaults on Western ships and maritime checkpoint. Oh my God. Headline. Peter Schiff. Gold is exposing the phony economy. Headline. Heartnet. Blowback against flood of illegal immigrants will spark next inflation crisis. Headline. Will Democrats accept the results of the 2024 presidential election? Headline. What would a red sweep mean? Oh, that sounds like something you get down. Headline. Where's Tony? These are all the countries Tony Blinken visited, the U.S. Secretary of State did since 2021. Oh my God. Trump. Former White House staffers reject John Kelly's fascist claims. These are your headlines as of 9:42 p.m. It's now 9:45. I was too slow. Fuck you. Yeah, you got your headlines now. Now you're feeling okay about life. You feel like you can get to the next level. So I was observing some dumb shit on social media today. And believe me, if I observe stupid shit on social media, do you know whose fault it is? It's like my dad used to say, it's the nut behind the wheel. It is, Dad. Up there chopping wood, logging in heaven. It's the nut behind the wheel. It is. But some people were posting stuff about how the government is now going to kill us all. And I'm just going to say this because I think folks have a hard time processing data. I don't know that we can blame smart devices completely for this. I don't know that we can blame the shit they're spraying in the skies completely for this. But it does seem like people are having a hard time with information. So I'm going to do this as the best I can, really, slowly, and try to explain it well. I hope I succeed. Your government has been killing Americans and other people since before the ink dried on the Constitution. Your government has been murdering and killing. I mean, it probably started out with, you know, like neighbor dogs and cats, you know. That's how it starts, right, Ted? It starts out with the neighbor dogs and cats, and then it moves on to that kid in eighth grade you didn't like. Whatever happened to poor Timmy? Well, don't ask the U.S. government. It used to be dogs. It used to be cats. Now it's brats, like every serial killer. The U.S. government started out small. It would, you know, do whatever, it would do the thing that everybody was okay with, which was, you know, taking out indigenous people. That was a thing. It was okay. We win. Might makes right. Manifest destiny. If you have to kill a bunch of indigenous people to get there, that's okay. But it didn't stop there. And it kept going. And it did turn its eyes on Americans. Believe me, the American Civil War was many things, but of the many things it was the true eyes of your Constitution turning its laser beams right at you. Right at the Confederacy, really, right? Yeah. Your government has been killing Americans for a shit ton long time. There are reports, quote-unquote, again, you got to take this shit ironically, that the United States experimented on, illegally, about 500,000 people during the Cold War. Excuse me, 500,000 Americans, some of whom were serving this country in uniform, some of whom were Marines who were told, hey, go march into that plume of shit, you know, where that nuke just went off. That's a cool thing. We want to study it. but other stuff we don't know about. And so it's like tip of the iceberg. Probably if we know the government killed about 500,000, I think you can multiply times 10, at least. Your government's been killing you, killing your grandpa, killing your grandma. Your government's been killing you with bad food, bad advice, bad security, and a lot of other bad shit for a real long fucking bad time. That's it. It's not Putin. It's not these other things they tell you. It's your own fucking government really just fucking you up the butt. And if Trump wins, I'm going to shock you. That won't be any different. Okay, next topic. So I've noticed something today on the internet, and it might just be random, so let's just put it in the random category. Before I get into this, you may or may not know, I've spent most of the last couple decades as a software engineer. Now I'm a burnout, working tutoring kids in algebra and geometry. But yeah, once I used to write web code and program databases and do all that cool shit that you think is so awesome, and boy, don't get me started on the truth there, buddy. Yeah. So I'm sensitive to certain things involving the World Wide Web, and if you recall, and I think it was about 8 years ago during the 2016 election, there were a couple major hacking incidents, and I think a number of those incidents, and I think later incidents, had to do with certificate providers. Dan, what's a cert? Well, do you know SSL? I don't know what SSL is. Port 443, fuck you. Anyways, if in theory your certificate allows an SSL transaction between a client and a server, which means it allows reasonably decent encryption of the stream itself, which means if you have a decent certificate and you implement, you know, the right kind of SSL over port 443, the man in the middle attack, or woman in the middle, whatever it is now, okay, whatever, cisgendered, the in the middle attack becomes difficult if not impossible. That's the whole point of certificates. The problem is certificate providers are a third party. They're not co-located with your server. So if your web services depend upon a certificate and your certificate provider crashes, how can I phrase this? Your internet's gonna crash. Oh, fuck. It gets worse though. It's not just that certificates for SSL transactions are provided for by a third party. A whole shit ton of what you and I would call content and what the porn companies, you know, housed in the state of Israel would call content is out there, and it's content providers doing the work. I don't know about porn. I think porn is probably not on the general, but who knows? At this point, there could be content providers. Their whole purpose in life is just to serve up in a distributed way to reduce lag time, you know, pictures of naked ladies. It could very well be. I've more or less discovered that Grok on Twitter, the AI, has a shit ton of porn in its database, so yeah, who knows, right? Yeah. Content providers warehouse images, movies, basically multimedia. If it's a file that produces any type of stream, content providers are involved. And so they're third parties, just like certificate providers. They have servers in the cloud all over the place, who knows where. And when your website comes up, you know, that image you see, and more often than not also, and frankly, this is more to the point, the image advertisements you see, these things also come from content providers and people that manage the real estate of the web. It's a multi-leveled scheme. But the point is, there are multiple third parties. And if the web programmer, because here's the thing, the certificate hack is out of the web programmer's hands. You can't really do much about that. You could, you know, redirect to port 80, but that's not a great idea. That's what hackers want you to do. But with respect to content, there are many a web programmer that will write JavaScript code basically saying, you know, wait until, on load, wait until all of the images are loaded. And you'd say, well, Dan, that doesn't sound so bad. But it is bad. If the content providers are being hacked, it means your page won't load. This is not as strong a hack as hacking certificate providers, but in fact, it's actually a pretty good one. Because what I know is what the hackers know. that for every good programmer, especially when it comes to client-side programming, there's probably 20 to 30 that suck ass and basically just copy JavaScript code and write a lot of fucking terrible fucking JavaScript code. I'm not saying I'm the world's greatest web programmer. I'm not, but at least I admit it. Most people out there doing this work, they've been told you're not supposed to admit it. They've been told everybody gets an A. And remember, there is an A in the word crash, you know. Yeah. So who knows? Do I think there's a hack going on? This is spooky intuition, and I don't know for certain. But sometimes these types of big hacks start with probing, which means testing the hack. And I saw some stuff today that was weird. I saw it from Amazon. I saw it from Bluehost. I saw it from Twitter, which would imply that it would be a third-party hack if it were happening. Next topic. Dan, what are you telling? I'm telling you that the robot apocalypse already happened and you're fucked. That's what I'm telling you, but I love you. Good evening. Fuck you. I love you. By the way, I'm drinking some of my sacred coffee. If you know, you know. You know, you know. You know, baby, you're out there. Hoe cake. You're my sweet hoe cake, baby, and I know you're out there listening. It's a sweet Saturday night hoe cake, and you can come over to my place and we can talk about love. It's a sweet Saturday night hoe cake, and you come over to my place and knock on the door three times. I'll put up a yellow ribbon, if you know what I mean. That's right, hoe cake. So I did something stupid multiple times this week, but I'm also going to say, before I continue, I have a bit of that cotton mouth bullshit going on. I did something stupid this week a couple of times, which means I did it more than once, whatever. I went ahead and ordered Chinese food from this Chinese food restaurant, and I did it more than once. And the reason why it was stupid is because I have plenty of food. I have a kitchen to cook it in, and I'm really, you know, not wealthy. So ordering Chinese food is kind of stupid. I'm okay with it because of the advice I give other people. I had the money, I could spend it, and if you were to say, well, Dan, why don't you save up for your 20, you know, the 20 acres is probably not going to happen. The Social Security is never going to fucking happen. Retirement is a book I wrote in 2015. That's where I'm at, buddy. But along with the gifty of ordering fine Mongolian chicken from Tendy's in Port Angeles, I get my fortune. And I just don't get one fortune, because technically they classify it as a dish that serves two. 200 pounds, you mean. Anywho, I get two fortune cookies. I'm going to open each right now. Not live. You think it's live? It's not live. But I'm going to crack open a couple of these. Oh no, I only got one. Fuck them. No, I only got one fortune cookie. Okay. I thought I would get two. I got fucked this time. This is fucked. Anyways. So I'm opening my Uno single, you know, IDing one. I'm opening Ein Fortune. And if I achieve total oneness from the fortune, you will know, and it's not live. I should stream this sometime. Oh my god, it's a moldy fortune. I hate these. Fortune cookie dough is the grossest, and maybe that's why they're currently doing what they're doing. But what I just opened didn't even crack. It was just wet and moldy, so I'm going to read the fortune. God, fortune cookie's supposed to make a crackling noise. Okay, here's the fortune. A change to a more healthy lifestyle will benefit you tremendously. Well, there's truth to that. And what's funny is there have been positive changes to my lifestyle in the last 45 to 60 days. And so there's a lot of truth to that message in so many ways. But I think it's talking about the beer drinking. And I'll tell you something about the beer drinking. It's its own thing. I don't want to talk about it. I quit smoking cigarettes a couple months ago. not because I hate cigarettes, and really not because I thought a half a pack a day was going to kill me. It was not the thing that was killing me. Lack of activity and poor diet and lots of spider bites and a really bad living situation, probably a shit ton of mold in my lungs, was slowly killing me, but the cigarettes probably weren't. The reason why I quit wasn't for health reasons. So I'm not going to do any bullshit virtue signaling on you, my friend. The reason why I quit is it's too fucking expensive. It is. A. And B. Even if I smoked outside, I was afraid it would ruin my new living situation. That's B. Which is a good situation. I have a shower. I have a kitchen. I have to share those things. But at least I'm not taking a shower at the Y. And we all know why that's better. Okay? Yeah, I would benefit from a healthy lifestyle. I'd benefit from traveling to Tibet to meet Mistress Frongo and allow her in, no, excuse me, she'd allow me into her cave of wonders. She'd allow me into her cave of destiny. Mistress Frongo. Mistress Frongo would bring me to her cave of wonder. And then within her cave of wonder, there is a pearl. And within the pearl, there's another cave. And within the cave, there is a rave. And within the pearl, there is a girl. And give it time and lots of slime. And life is formed. And it decides to leave home and become an expert in martial arts. Yeah. We could all benefit from a healthier lifestyle. I'm certain of that. I'm also certain that when I look up at the sky, that I'm not seeing contrails. Who the fuck knows, right? I know I'm not seeing contrails. You can tell me all the bullshit you want to. You really can. But the Sovietologist and the rational person and the practitioner of Occam's razor tells me those aren't fucking contrails. I don't know for certain what the fuck they are. But if they're not contrails, I am certain that whatever shit is coming out of them is not good for you and not good for me. And officially, they've admitted to the whole microplastic thing. So riddle me this fucking riddler. When I was a teenager, they told me that plastic cup would take 700 years to break down. Did you know they put implants in your body? Oh, excuse me. The internal part of your body, the inside, is a highly oxidative environment. I'm mentioning that fucker. Did you know that the implants they put in your body are, oh yeah, made of fucking plastic? The plastic cup that won't break down, the implant that won't break down, but we got microplastics everywhere. Well, Dan, it's that new, the ecoplastics, the one, yeah. Let's all meditate on the possibility that if they're finding these things in Antarctica and other places, other such cases, that maybe the source of these microplastics could be, who knows, from the geoengineering gumbus they spray in the sky. We could all be living a healthier lifestyle. I know I could. But if they're doing this against you, if they've suckered you into this Norman Borlaug box, what the fuck are you supposed to do? You do the best you can. I could live a healthier lifestyle. Excuse me, my healthy lifestyle is the life I choose to live until I fucking die. There you go, Mr. and Mrs. Fortune Cookie. Next topic. next topic. Things are about to get interesting. Not really. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You wander about the beach and fields with a metal detector. I go to the landfill with a Geiger counter. We are not the same. You wander the park with your metal detector. You wander the park Looking for a diamond ring, I go to the landfill. With a Geiger counter, I go to the landfill. Looking for radioactive waste. Take a metal detector to the beach cabin. Hey, honey, I'm going down the beach. I'm going to find the lost treasure of my childhood because I married you too soon. Fuck, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, honey, you go down to the beach. I'll be hanging out with your friend Bob, and he's going to show me his beef torpedo. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, you go to the beach with your fucking metal detector, and you're looking for what? The treasure of your lost fucking childhood. I go to the landfill with a Geiger counter. I'm looking for discarded medical fucking waste. Radioactive waste. Cesium, highly radioactive, very useful. We're not the same, you and I. Now, some of you, Dan, that does never happens. Oh, my God. That only happens on TV. And there's some truth to that, too, right? There are probably more than a few episodes about people dumping the wrong thing in the wrong place. But the history of the United States government and the history of corporations that are protected by the United States government of dumping the wrong thing in the wrong place is a long and distinguished fucking history. I think there's discarded radioactive waste near St. Louis. That discarded World War II top secret radioactive waste, I believe, or maybe it's from the Cold War, that radioactive waste in St. Louis is not far from an underground fire. And the underground fire is slowly burning towards, yeah, the nuclear fucking waste. So before you go with, Dan, that would never fucking happen, you're crazy. Don't go there. Don't go there. You're the guy. You're the gal, you're the person, I don't even know what people are any longer. You're the gombo freak that goes to the fucking beach looking for the treasure of the Sierra Madre with your dang it frickin' metal detector. I'm the guy that goes to the Super City landfill because nobody cares, and I find the really good stuff, if you know what I mean. And on the black market, frankly, I make more money. And if you say, well, Dan, don't your balls fall off? And I say, buddy, I'm 54 years old. Retirement happened already, pal. You just didn't see it. Yeah. We're not the same. Next topic. Dan, that's terrible. I can't believe how crazy you get at night. And I know. I need to go to bed. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Enjoy the fears they give you. Enjoy the fears they give you. Enjoy the scary things that they leave at your door. Enjoy the fears they fucking give you. Enjoy them. You'll love them. Enjoy them. You'll love them. You'll love them. Evil liberals, they're out there, buddy. Nazi conservatives. Oh my girl, hairy balls, old crazy man, is he the president? Oh Papa Blump, global climate change, Putin drag queen, COVID monkey herpes baby. Enjoy those fears they give you, repost and meme about them. If you do, it's working. Christians, oh my God, atheists. Oh my God. Scientologists, oh my God. There are Mormons out there somewhere in Utah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh boy, buddy, watch out. I bet a few listen to me, right? Vaccines are going to kill you. Space aliens are going to kill you. Robots, they hate us. Robots will steal the missile codes. Robots will kill you. They're coming for you. Iranians, Russians, Chinese, they're all coming to kill you, buddy, in the inner city. You're you're a latchkey kid, and it's Stranger Danger time, baby. Dungeons and Dragons is going to pollute the mind of your child. Heavy metal music is a way to summon Satan. Inner city people, oh my gosh, people of different colors, they're scary, right? White people are scary. Whatever people are scary. Men people are scary. Gay people are scary. Trans people are scary. Gun nuts are scary. Gun control is scary. You know, these fears, there's so many. I can't list them all. Why don't you make a list, okay? Illegal aliens are coming for your women. Donald Trump is gonna build a wall. There are commies at the university. Bill Gates hates your child. The Rothschilds and the Jews, oh my God, oh my God. The FEMA camps, FEMA itself, oh my God, oh my God. Gaza, 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 Gaza. BLM, Antifa, racists are everywhere. There are so many such cases. To quote Dr. Freckles, enjoy the fears they give you, buddy. Really, you should. You need to enjoy those fucking fears they give you. They give them to you in little videos. Oh my God. Inner city kids just took over Target and stole all the shoes. Oh my God. Some old dude just slapped some young person. Oh my God. Look at that 7-Eleven guy take out that other dude with a hammer. Oh my God. Oh my God, did you know there's a drag queen someplace 10.6 kilometers from you heading towards you? What are you gonna do, buddy? Oh my God, oh my God. And you could accuse me of that if you want to. It's why I don't talk about my bugbears. I try not to. Once in a while it slips out. And to refresh your mind, a bugbear is an irrational fear. And I have a few. I have a few because I can't prove them. And because I can't prove them, they are kind of crazy. Does it mean I have zero evidence? Not really. It's more like I don't have good enough evidence. So even if I don't protect myself completely, I can protect you. Unlike a lot of the shitheads out there back in 2020, who couldn't help but to vomit up their fucking hypochondria onto everybody else. I don't do that. You know, I don't. I mean, a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that around the monkey herpes and the vaccine, you know it, around fucking Papa Blump, and who knows who's running the White House. But here's the thing. The videos, the stories, the pictures of somebody of some race harming another person, to me, Occam's razor says, they're just trying to piss you off. And if you're seeing it, you're seeing it for a reason. It's kind of like these content servers. They're not accidental. They kind of make sense. And when you think in terms of propaganda theory, and more generally, military psychological warfare, it makes sense to have a machine, a factory, that produces this nonsense. And at this point in human history, that is something AI can help you with. AI is not going to steal your missile codes, but AI can help you fake a lot of bullshit. Not because AI is so smart, and this is the part that hurts, but because a lot of people have become that stupid, that dumb. And it doesn't mean it's irreversible. You know, that the smartest thing you could do is get rid of your fucking smart device. Get yourself a flip phone. You got text messaging, you got your phone call. If you tell me there's an app, I got Telegram. You got nothing, buddy. Discord, Telegram, WhatsApp, you name an app you can't live without, and I'm telling you, you're in fucking trouble. You're not going to make it. So get rid of your fucking smart device and switch to a flip phone ASAP. And better yet, learn to take walks without your phone. Learn to do shit without your phone, because even a flip phone is still something they can track. You know, if you think somehow you're safe, like, I'm not that dumb. I don't think I'm safer in terms of tracking because I have a flip phone. I'm just as in trouble as you. The difference is I don't have to listen to the bullshit. It's kind of like, why wouldn't you vote, Dan? Why don't you pay your taxes? I'm an anarchist. I vote, I pay my taxes, because you're a dumb shit. I don't vote because I don't want to participate in shit that's going to ruin my day. By not voting, I don't have to deal with a whole bunch of stress I used to worry about. Well, that's something. And as far as taxes go, I don't file because it's a waste of my fucking time. Same reason I don't vote. You and I are not the same, all right? And frankly, if you keep calling yourself an anarchist, people are going to wonder. You know, you're an anarchist that votes. You know who I'm talking to. If you know, you know. Anywho, enjoy the fears. They give them to you. They serve them up. TikTok, YouTube, you name it. Many such sites I am not allowed on. Many such sites. Not all of them. I'm still on Rumble. I'm still on Spotify until they kick me off. Have I had red flag events with them? Sure I have. But they haven't thrown me by the wayside yet. The simple fact, though, from my perspective, is that they will eventually. So enjoy those fears. Some of you are just so fucking good at spreading them, too. So keep doing it. You're doing what they want you to do. You're succeeding. You're a fucking winner. Next topic. Oh, my God. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Perfection is suboptimal. And this is actually kind of a ripoff quote. There's a common saying, a sort of quote, and I'm sure if I cared, I could look up who said it first, but there's a saying I've heard many times that you should not let the perfection, that don't let perfection be the enemy of the good. You know, what does that mean, Dan? Well, there are a lot of things in life that if we had enough time, we would perfect, if such things were possible. You could say, well, what about the professional baseball player? What about the ballerina? What about the concert pianist? And here's my response, shithead. The concert pianist might be on beta blockers and frankly might end up having a heart attack eventually before they ever get as good as they could be. The ballerina is probably going to have lots of joint injuries. And as far as the baseball player, who the hell knows what kind of drugs they're taking? I'm not angry at them for using performance-enhancing drugs or having other issues or the fact that if you're a professional football player, it's kind of like getting into car wrecks every Sunday. This is a choice. This is a choice. They choose to live a certain way. If you think it's consequence-free, you're crazy. It's like folks who go to Los Angeles to be a movie star. Okay? If you're going there to be a movie star and you're going to try to be the one movie star that has no tragedy or drama, you probably have, it's probably not going to happen. I don't know. But could you minimize it? Could you potentially be a movie star and not get suckered into all the really satanic shit? Probably, maybe. It's a question of what you're willing to accept. I have tried in recent years to look at what's optimal, what can function. I've tried to ignore this idea of perfection because every time I get suckered into it, I find it to be disappointing. And the proponents of perfection, when I dig into them, what I find out is there's nothing there. You know, it's like the proponents of this, what I would call ignoramus positive attitude bullshit. The idea that simply being positive will make your life better. I think you're trying to solve one psychosis with another. Really. That's what I think you're doing. It's kind of like Scientology. They take people who have problems and maybe they replace one set with another and potentially the replacement problems are going to be worse. Something a lot of people don't think about, you know. Perfection is suboptimal. We should not let the perfect be the enemy of the good, but we do. We don't always have the time to do the best job. It's kind of like the stories out of Appalachia. The stories of, you know, how the communities are building all these roads, which is awesome, and which is what should happen, and it should have always been the case. But the thing is, some of these roads may end up getting washed out. Some of these roads may not be properly constructed. Their purpose was for an emergency. And as emergency roads, they might work very well. But as long-term solutions, they probably won't function at all. Now, you'd say, well, is that a criticism? No. This is an example of how, you know, perfection, getting it right perfectly, would be suboptimal. What the people need is food, water, shelter, electricity. They need people moving stuff. And so if the road's not perfect, that's okay. You know, people need to eat. People need dry clothes. people need building materials. I'm, you know, if they really did engineer the energy of a hurricane to direct itself over Appalachia, there's a lot of stuff out there that we still don't know. I mean, that's a sad truth about what happened with Helene, is that it has a lot of scary familiarity. It rhymes. You know, it rhymes with what happened in Maui. It rhymes with what happened in Maui, and it rhymes with other places, places where we know something happened, and then the news just kind of stops talking about it. And yeah, there are still people working to help the folks of North Carolina, the folks of, you know, Tennessee, the folks of that area, Kentucky, Appalachia, let's just say Appalachia, that need help. There are, and there are still definitely probably thousands that need help, and probably thousands of bodies that need to be properly, you know, buried. It's closer to the truth. But like the Maui thing, the fire, it's like it's a blackout a couple days after, and we're moving on to the next trauma monkey, next topic. Anyways, God bless the people helping. Before I move on, God bless the people, you know, building roads. God bless the people ignoring the government and trying to get something done. God bless the people who are getting food into Appalachia. And God bless the people who are rescuing those that are buried. Because there are probably still people buried alive. There very well could be. So God bless the ones searching and helping. And God bless, in the end, all those who have to end up digging up bodies that are dead, because that's a necessary thing, and it's going to be horrible. So God bless them all. I can say that. I may not be in a good place with the Lord, but I can at least say that. Next topic. Dan, I'm an atheist, and you feel offended, Mr. Scrumbo, because, you know, Mr. Scrumbo, you've always been the thing, the demon. That's why I'm doing my Danifesto, Mr. Scrumbo, to escape your bullshit. Next topic. Oh, these are a lot of quotes from Dr. Freckles this evening. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I know everything I need to know to not be dead yet. I know everything I need to know to not be dead yet. I know a bunch. I have a hunch. I'll get a lunch. And I'm not dead yet. I chased down a woman named Sarah. She lived up the street in a fancy apartment. She said she loved me. She tossed a rock at me. Another dude hit me with an axe, and another guy ran me over with a truck, but I'm not dead yet. I traveled to Antarctica to seek after the Stone of Nordor. At the opening of the ancient cave, in the freezing, freezing weather of the time, the darkness of a dark sky, there was a holy man, some type of priest or shaman, with a glowing sword. And he looked at me. I said, Mr. Shaman Man, Mr. Mystic, Mr. Dude from another time, will you help me? Will you help me find the answers? Will you help me on my way? Because I ain't dead yet. And I thought I knew everything I needed to know, Mr. Fancy Shaman Man. And I stood there. I stood there and looked at him. And that guy looked at me. And then he said, very quietly but loud enough, in a nice nice tone of voice, he said, Dan, this is a Wendy's. This is a Wendy's. Yeah. I know everything I need to know to not be dead yet. That's my response to a lot of folks who try to classify me as a Luddite, or B, a member of the Know Nothing League. I'm neither. I'm simply not pretending to know things I don't know. A lot of folks think they know things about what's going on right now they don't actually know, and their lack of curiosity glows bright. That's the brightest thing going on in their skull. The fire next to the dude who's not interested in their head, that really does glow brightly, but everything else is kind of dim. I know everything I need to know to not be dead yet. This doesn't mean I won't be dead tomorrow. I know everything I need to know to keep moving along. This doesn't mean I get to. I know enough to not drown, maybe, but eventually I'm probably going to drown in that figurative sense, in that metaphorical sense. I'll go below the waves of this society and I will never be heard from again. And that's okay. That's life. That happens. We make choices. I could have chose to do things a lot differently when I was a kid. Maybe I could come up with the excuse and say, well, I didn't have this and I didn't have that. But that's bullshit when you're in your 50s. You have what you have. A lot of people have disadvantages. I'm not going to say get over it, but what the fuck are you going to do about it? Nothing. I know enough to be here, and I know enough to keep going. I know enough to at least tell people what not to do. And I know enough to know that there are some questions I'll never be able to answer. And they're not even big questions, like, is there life after death? And how do I know for certain there's a God? I'm never going to know for sure what happened to JFK. Neither will you. I'm never going to know for sure anything about the truth of the aliens. Not for sure. I'm never probably going to know for sure if they are geoengineering. And probably neither will you. As far as the McPoyle plot on Trump, the attempted McPoyle assassination, I have no fucking clue if that attempt or any of the other hokey-dokey, rinky-dinky attempts are real, and I'll never know for sure, and neither will you. And if you come back with, well, this person, you know, there's blood from a real death, I'll say, listen, fakeries, whether it's, you know, remember the Maine from the Spanish-American War, or the Gulf of Tonkin, or 9/11, a lot of people end up getting killed, is my point, when you try to fake something. But I'll never know, shithead, and neither will you. I'm pretty certain the COVID was 100% PSYOP bullshit, but I'll probably never know for sure. I'm 100% certain the mask does not help you and probably hurts you, but I'm just not interested in proving it to you, dummy. I know enough to be here. Barely. And I know enough probably to be here tomorrow. Beyond that, none of us really know. And that's okay. Dan, I don't like your line of thought. I don't... You're okay. You're okay. You're okay, Mr. Scrumbo. As a part of us getting over it, becoming grinking men and whoa, man, we will overcome Mr. Scrumbo. Okay? Here is the last topic, but it is another quote from Dr. Freckles. There's a certain point in kilotonnage per square mile when you call bullshit on a war. If somebody tells me, you know, there's a spot where people, you know, dug massive caves and shit, giant tunnels, but they dropped, like, I don't know, 100,000 tons of TNT on that spot, I'd say, okay. If they say, no, Dan, we spread it over 141 square miles, well, I'll say, okay. But none of it makes sense to me. I know that I'm beating a dead horse here because I brought this up a few months ago when I decided to go down the rabbit hole of the estimates of conventional TNT dropped on Gaza since last year. And if the numbers are true, low end or high end, the low end estimates are like 70,000 tons per 141 square miles, and the high end is over 100,000. And we may be approaching the magical point where the IDF has dropped 10,000 tons per square mile, if it's really happening. The problem I'm having is it's absurd. I'm not saying ignore the human rights tragedy. It's gigantic. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. I mean, technically, it definitely counts as ethnic cleansing. Yeah, horrible. But what's even more interesting to me at this point is how ridiculously absurd it is, and frankly, really stupid, to be at this point. In the history of military warfare, I don't care if you include the Arclight bombings, the, you know, Linebacker 1, Linebacker 2 from Vietnam. I don't care if you include Dresden from World War II. I don't care if you include all the garbage General LeMay did, to include Nagasaki and Hiroshima. At this point, the IDF, in conventional terms, has dropped a few Hiroshima's worth of tonnage. Doesn't mean it's the same. A nuclear bomb has side effects that conventionals don't have, and it's a single explosive. But on the other hand, if you're not really concerned with radiation one way or the other, 100,000 tons of TNT is good enough to do a lot of damage. You know, let's just be clear what 100,000 tons would mean. And I don't know if we're there yet, but we're going there, right, IDF? I will simply say, before I close this out, what I've said before. It doesn't make sense. The war itself, even... This is the key idea. If you think of this from the perspective of evil, like imagine you're the most disgustingly evil shithead in charge of the Mossad and the IDF secret committee for all the shitty shit that they do, okay? Imagine you're in charge. It doesn't add up. The slow roll ethnic cleansing, which Israel had been doing up until October of 2023, the slow roll ethnic cleansing was working. It was working. In another 20 years, Gaza would be part of Israel, and without, you know, blowing everything up and, frankly, spreading a lot of toxic material, Gaza would be part of Israel within 10 to 20 years. So why the rush? What information did the Israeli government get roughly a year ago that caused them to do the shit they did? Because I don't believe the Hamas bullshit and the paraglider surprise, you know, looks about as real as the McPoyle event in July with Trump, which means it looks fake as fuck. I don't buy the paraglider bullshit for a lot of reasons, not least of which is I've been told all my life that Israel is the necessary aircraft carrier with its super high speed, whatever, military intelligence and capabilities, but somehow gets taken off guard by paragliders. And by the way, paragliders are not really that stable. So I don't know what kind of fucking crew-served weapon or rockets or shit you have on a paraglider, but if it's bigger than a 10-22 carbine, you're probably going to have a bad day. But Dan, they had lawnmower engines, I know. And you're still going to have a bad fucking day if you're shooting much more than a 10-22. Okay? Sorry. Sorry, there's a reason why probably in the history of warfare, paragliders really haven't taken off, you know? And we could have a painful conversation about airborne warfare generally, but let's just be clear. In the last century, airborne assaults have become possible, feasible. There are many such cases. Ask me how many of them are really definitive successes. And then out of that list, how many involved a guy named Otto Skorzeny? If you know, you know. The point is, the history of airborne operations is a bloody terrible history, and one could argue that it is the most ruthless waste of human life imaginable. From a tactical, a strategic, operational, military perspective, airborne operations aren't really that great of an idea. Now, sometimes you have no option, right? If you're going to invade Grenada, you got to jump in, but I'm not even sure that's true. I don't know. And air assault, which means going by helicopter, isn't really that much better. It's just that, yeah, paragliders, really? So I don't know. It fits into that general conundrum, you know? I am unsure. The one thing, though, we can all do is refuse the plate of fears. Like, just because you don't have answers doesn't mean you have to take the empty space in your skull and replace it with the fears they give you. I know these are fears you enjoy. How do I know it? Because you obsess over them. You meme over them, you post about them, you say, oh, Dan, I don't care. And then the next time you're on Facebook, you post something about the thing you don't care about. These are the fears they give you. They want you to enjoy them. It's Saturday. October the 26th, 2024, Boblimp Doc. Within a matter of days, the most important election in the history of all time will commence. And at that election day, a glowing orb in the sky will scream. And a mega man of orange hair will stand upon a throne. Yes, in a matter of days, the fate of nations and tribes, the complete future of the armada of ships that are being led from that terrible war zone by Admiral Adama. Because out there somewhere, the Battlestar Galactica and the Pegasus and all those other ships on their way to Earth, you know. And it's going to be a hard journey, really dark, kind of messy. Towards the end, you're going to think it's all over. But then they'll make it to Earth like it's Battlestar Galactica 1980 and, I don't know, Wolfman Jack. Yeah. It's Saturday night. And it's just after 10:30 p.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. I hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.